future trends, deep insights, industry leaders. This is the iGaming Next podcast with your host, Pierre Lindt.
This podcast is brought to you by Pragmatic Solutions, the leading iGaming PAM platform with a modular approach, including many benefits like a fast, secure, and scalable API-based platform integrated with all major third-party products and services. Make sure you head over to Pragmatic Solutions and join our smart thinking.
This podcast is brought to you by Pragmatic Play, an industry-leading content provider of slots, live casino, bingo, and virtual sports. Pragmatic Play excels at creating an immersive, engaging, and mobile-focused experience for players with over 200 HTML5 games that are available in all currencies, 31 languages, and all major certified markets. Discover more at pragmaticplay.com.
And hello, Ivan Montik, founder of SoftSwiss. Nice to have you here on the podcast today. How are you doing?
Good to hear you, Pierre, and good to see you as well. I'm good, thank you. I'm in nice Berlin with nice weather, summertime, very nice.
It's hard to complain, and I must say that I appreciate the effort here, my friend, that you have brought a real, proper, good microphone with you today here to the podcast. Not always that happens, so thanks for the effort. listen, Ivan, obviously you're the founder of SoftSwiss, who is in the forefront of all things crypto-related to the iGaming industry. And, you know, in the last couple of weeks and months on the crypto side of things, and also on the stock market and the macroeconomics in general, it's been tough times, right? And, you know, just last week here, in the time of this recording, Bitcoin is down 35%, Ethereum even more, and the sentiment is starting all over again that you have heard a million times before. So my first question to you is crypto dead?
No, it's not. And again, you are completely right. So I hear it many times already during this journey of, let's say, having Bitcoin and crypto in our solutions and working with crypto, earning crypto as well. So basically, at least 5 or 6 times, pretty the same situation we had already. And every time people were saying to me, and actually in the industry, many people were saying that now crypto is dead, no future anymore, etc., etc. Maybe blockchain will survive, but crypto will, as a cryptocurrency, will not survive anymore. So I have two basically points to answer on this question. And first point is just an answer from my experience that I gained from 2000, basically 11, where I really were already in the industry of crypto. We're starting to understand it, to, let's say, a little bit mine it, a little bit play with that, a little bit trying to how to use it in the business, and since today. So, and anytime crypto was fall, I've fallen against another currencies. Yes. It was then the time like we call it crypto winter, and after yes. that it was a time where crypto was really rolling up and growing very fast. So today we have pretty the same situation, but today actually the situation is even more healthy, because we see that not only crypto is falling, like Bitcoin or Ethereum, but also like the whole markets and the whole basically economy in the world is getting a little bit into troubles, I guess. And we will see what we will have in the economy of biggest countries within the next 4 to 6 months. Yeah. So it's actually a good sign that crypto is following the same signs and the same trends that the markets are following. So it means that we are already in the time where crypto is already there. It will not die. It's just considered as another asset on the market, right? But I have also a second point for you, and it's also quite fresh. So as you know, like we are working in our main partner for the crypto processing is the brand Coins Patent CryptoProcessing.com. And we were chatting with the Max, who is a CEO of CoinsPet. It was 2 days ago, yesterday as well. And he said, hey, guys, look, like while crypto is falling, our volumes are growing in terms of transactions. So, and this is the screenshot of the volumes of coins paid. June. So basically, in the same trend that we see how the basically Bitcoin, the crypto world, is falling against the let's say USD or Euro, we see another trend in the same direction, but in another. In the same percentage, but in another direction. How the transactions are growing. So, for example, for the processing business, it's much better time right now, and I guess and I'm sure it's the same for the gambling industry and the gaming industry as well. So, as lower the price for certain cryptocurrencies is, as more people will willing to use it for services, for buying goods, etc. So transactions are growing. So this is that. Right. So, I mean, if you're considering crypto as a tool or as an asset, we see it's there. It's used worldwide, and the transactions volumes are in general, like within this 10, 12, 13 years that Bitcoin has been here, they are growing. So I know that somebody wants to have Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies debt, but I need to say pretty bad news for them. It will be staying here, it will be growing, and as a technology, it will be anyway overcome the fiat money, the fiat system. No doubt about it.
Right. It's a hot take. Breaking news: crypto is not dead. Then, essentially, as you point out here, the graph that you show for those who are listening is basically a pretty nice upward trending graph in the amount of transactions, basically through CoinSpeed, essentially. So people are actually using crypto, not used
It's not a selling transaction, like not the sell-off transactions. These are like quite healthy business transactions of within the different services.
Interesting. And so on that note, Ivan, I mean, you founded SoftWiz in 2008, and you were very early in kind of adopting the crypto technologies in order to help casinos to be able to accept cryptocurrencies as payment solutions back in 2013, I believe. And you know, when I was doing a little bit research on this conversation, I came across an interview that you made in 2012 or something along those lines, 2013.
I think it was 2013, like 13. Around September, I believe, or October.
The interviewee was a certain Vitalik Buterin, who basically 2 years later went on to found Ethereum. And I just thought it was really ironic that he was the one interviewing you. Can you talk about that interview and your connection with Vitalik, perhaps?
It was at Bitcoin Magazine, and Vitalik at that time was the reporter or journalist for them. So, as I understand, he was like from the beginning, or almost from the beginning of creation of Bitcoin. In this topic, he was interested in it. He wrote about it as well at that time. Like you know, the technology was interesting for him. And he didn't find, as I understand, any other way as to dig into it and to be a journalist for the Bitcoin magazine. And you know, like being a journalist, you can talk to many people that are already involved in this sphere and in the market. And so he was a journalist, and we were already in the business.
Exactly.
The story was so like that. So actually, the story of the interview in general was not really, let's say, positive from the beginning, because first it came out Bitcoin Magazine an article about one of our clients who was using our technology, and somebody on the market, like the competitors, were claiming that this project is making troubles for other projects, competitors, like in a, let's say, not good way, let's say. They were saying, they were claiming that there is a DDoS attacks against them, and this project is doing this and that, and et cetera, et cetera. So, and SoftSwiss was mentioned at that time, they're not in a really good way. Like, nobody asked us about, are we involved? Do we know something about this, et cetera, et cetera. So, and, you know, like, I'm also being a little bit in the journalistic sphere. And when I saw this article, I understand that this article doesn't fulfill the basic journalistic ethic. So basically, if you write about somebody, it's normal that you come to this party and ask, like, whether they also have something to share about this, right? So nobody came to us. And then I wrote to Vitaly directly, and I said, like, Vitaly, I think it's something wrong here, because nobody asks us about, nobody asks us even if we want to be published in this article, etc., how we involved in this situation in general. And I said that I think it's fair from business perspective, and it's must be from the journalistic perspective that you also ask us and ask our question, our opinion about the situation. And he answered to me and said, yeah, Ivan, you are right. I apologize about this. Let us do an interview with you, not only on this case, but in general about your business, about how you also use crypto in the business, etc. So it's, so it came to this situation that we done this interview, and it was published and is still there in the internet. And yeah, and after, it was, I believe, in a year or something, at least it was a half a year or a year, when Vitaly announced that he is going to launch something like Ethereum, and then Ethereum was launched, like, yeah, 2 years later, something like that. But it was very funny, because you know, I already had some connection, some communication, and I remember I read about the idea of him, and I found it, like, super cool. I mean, I said, like, this is the future, 100%. Obviously, some things that he is going to do are able to be done also within the Bitcoin blockchain, but 100%, this is the future of developing of the blockchain industry and the cryptocurrencies, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, this is the story, and I still find the story very interesting, funny, and you know, like, yeah. But this is the history of crypto and SoftSwiss as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, funny how the tables have turned in that regard. Obviously, Vitalik is now one of the most famous people on the planet and seen as a absolute pioneer in the crypto space, of course. But, you know, 2013 was a breakout year for Bitcoin in general. It was the year where Bitcoin went from something like $13, and it had this, like, insane bull run up to, like, $1,100. And that was the first time it kind of entered the mainstream to some extent. After that, obviously, it kind of came down a bit. There was a couple of years where nothing happened.
It was the second time was of fall, and it was, like, already, everything is done, we are dead.
Yeah, exactly. Crypto is dead, yeah, exactly. But it was also the year, 2013 was also the year where you launched crypto solutions for the iGaming industry. And so, you know, when did you realize, Ivan, that Bitcoin specifically at that time wasn't just a fad, that it was actually something that was going to stick around?
I mean, I was introduced, let's say, like this, to Bitcoin by my friend, who is a really geek and computer genie and mathematics genie, and he found this information 2010, like, on forums, and was also trying to play a little bit with that. And he came to me, like, we just were, I don't know, like, chatting like normal friends, like usual, you know, having some beer. And he said, like, can you imagine there is a technology that make this and this and this, and the possibility is, like, completely super deep, and you can, in the future, you can do with that everything, basically. And but first of all, of course, you can use it right now very easy and fast as a payment method, as a coin. And yeah, I read about that and I heard to him his explanation. Like he was doing it a little bit from the mathematical point of view, not from the, let's say, economical and real life point of view. And yeah. At that time, I calculated the cost of electricity and the cost of the coin, etc. So, and then I was thinking, how this technology and system is going to survive if it's actually a negative, it's cost more to mine this as its coin itself. And I forgot about this idea for a while, like for a year. But 2011, I believe somewhere 2011, between 2012, Satoshi Dice was launched and Eric Voorhees has launched this project. And it was actually first service project like in Bitcoin network, and it was basically a gambling website, right? And I started to dig into it again, and then there were some other websites like Dice websites in the market, in the industry, but there were no like casinos that I call them online, classic online casinos with slots, with live roulettes, with roulettes, digital roulettes, etc. And at the same time, we as a SoftSwiss, we decided like to go into the gambling industry and to develop the solutions for the gambling industry. And I was obviously thinking how we can be unique and how we can find our USP. And I said, okay, guys, we understand the crypto, we understand how blockchain works, we understand the Bitcoin very well, really, like from the security point of view, from the economical point of view, etc. Let's implement our own crypto processing, it was actually only Bitcoin processing solution, within our platform, and offer to the market like a platform that business can use to launch a casino, but not only for the fiat currencies, but also for Bitcoin. And decision was made. There were several brainstorms, and we decided how we will implement it, how we are going to cover the risks, because you understood that if the cryptocurrency will gone, or if any small bug will be found in the system, so we are guilty, not the client is guilty, will be guilty, right? So, and we will not be able to get the money back. So yeah, this was done as well. We put the information on our website, started to do a little bit SEO on these keywords, very few, and immediately, like literally within 1 week, we've got already requests from different parts of the world, like from Finland, from Colombia, from Japan. The business that was already searching for such solution, and we offered this solution. And as far as I know, we were the first one on the market. Coin Gaming launched the solution a little bit later, and another company that was launching this solution, like similar solution, was called PlayForce, I believe, and it was like a year after. And they were not really, they didn't manage to survive on the market and they closed. So yeah, and I think it was a destiny for us, and the decision was made, and that's why actually SoftSwiss at that time get this attraction from the industry. And I remember at ICE 2014, when the first Bitcoin seminar was happening there, and we were sponsoring this Bitcoin seminar at ICE Totally Gaming. And then we had an interview, and I was coming to the interview, and somebody, I believe it was SB Tech CEO, but I can be wrong right now. The guy that never saw me actually before, I also never saw him before. And we met each other in this interview room and said, "Hey, hi, I'm this, yeah." And I said, "I'm Ivan." I said, "SoftSwiss, you are the biggest crypto supplier in the industry. Yeah, well done." And I was, "Wow, I mean, people already know us. It's very nice from the industry and a big name. So cool. So yeah, this was very exciting for me."
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you pioneered it, obviously, in the right time, in the right place, and then on top of that, obviously, having the technical know-how and expertise in order to pull this off. And you know, so that has been kind of the foundation for SOSWIT's success and identity over the last 8 or 9 years or so. And you know, like putting the tape forward now to 2022 and looking at crypto payments from a regulatory point of view, it seems to me that regulators are slow to adopt and kind of cater for new technologies in general, and you know, crypto being one of them, and they're kind of stifling innovation in that respect. Like, why do you think that regulators are so slow to adapt to specifically crypto payments, but also new technologies in general?
No, I think there are several basically factors why it's happening. And while I know that there is an interest and there was an interest for the new technology, for the blockchain technology from the regulators, but apparently, as I see it now, there were some also like progressive guys, let's say, within the some regulators that were really fond of this technology, and they wanted to do and to change something within the regulation. And I can even name the countries. I was quite closely talking to, or better to say, he was talking to me with the guy, I don't remember right now the names, but from the Spanish Gambling Commission. It was 2016 and 17. The guy was talking to me. Then we were having some video calls as well with the other commission members, and they were really fond of blockchain. They somehow, at least, they expressed that they wanted to, they were willing to somehow implement this technology and upgrade their regulation. After my speech at EIG in Berlin, it was 2016, I believe, as well. Guys from Canada regulation, from Denmark, came to me as well and said, "Okay, first of all, thank you that you explained the blockchain technology and how it works in the simple words. And second, here are our contacts, and we would like to cooperate with you guys. But for now, we understand it's too early for us, but still, we're interested. And if you will be like in Copenhagen and in Canada, Montreal, please give us a note and we will meet you, and maybe we will discuss internally like how it could be." But the whole idea is that I believe it's, you know, like, there are few people of that kind that in the regulators that really understand the technology. It's not about only the gambling regulators. It's about everything. It's about even bankers. It's about financial systems, financial regulations. There are few really people, if any, in these government structures, let's say like this, that really understand the benefits that can gain not only the industry, but the government as well, and the benefits that can make the industry, the responsible gambling, really safer and really more responsible. And I can tell you, it was a discussion, a panel discussion, I believe 2015, and also in London and Total and at ICE Totally Gaming show. It was another seminar about Bitcoin and gambling, etc. But it was already the second one, and the interest was there. And there were guys from UKGC, and they were already like thinking to somehow implement the cryptocurrency within their infrastructure and regulation, and they did actually after. But the discussion was about the AML and the responsible gambling. I said at that time, like, guys, if you really want to make gambling responsible and safe, and you want to make it absolutely money laundering friendly, let's say like this, I mean, anti-money laundering friendly, you should actually force all your regulation and all your basically operators within the regulated market to use cryptocurrency. but not in the, just like a Bitcoin, for example, but maybe to create some, let's say, government wallet or partner with some company that can do it. And this wallet can be attached to any player who wants to play, who wants to gamble, who wants to make bets, who wants to play poker, etc. And you can, as a UK GC, launch your own coin, actually, that will be only accepted for play on regulated operators. And in this interface where you sign up the player, when you check his KYC, check his source of funds, whatever you want to check, you already know that this player is safe, clean, and he buy, for example, the coin for pounds, and he use this coin only to gamble within the regulated environment. No other fiat currency is accepted. And in this case, you will have absolutely super good business environment, because the operator doesn't have then to check all these kind of papers to ask, to control, and blah, blah, blah.
You do it once, and and then you can operate across operators.
Yeah, you control the player on this wallet side, basically. And if you think or operator can report to you that the player is having some problems, gambling problems, etc., you can even block him on this side. You can basically control more or less his coins. It could be centralized, it could be decentralized. It's another question. But in an ideal world, you could basically give his money back to him in pounds, for example, right? So obviously, this system could be set up in a little bit more sophisticated way, as I tell right now. But this discussion was like, and they couldn't answer me. They couldn't say, no, you are not right, you are not correct, and blah, blah, blah. So they couldn't argue with me at all. So, and on this perspective, I think that they really don't understand right now one side, and also probably they even don't understand another side, the gambling side as well right now. It's like, and this is the problem, I think. And this is the problem of many countries for now. But I could also bring, in my opinion, at least for now, for this point of time, a good example of the regulator. So let's take Estonia. They have the gambling regulation, they have the crypto regulation, and within this gambling regulation, they basically have a marriage between the crypto and the gambling, because it's one country, one system, right? One financial system. And they allow to use crypto, and there is no much like not so sophisticated and not so hardcore to use the crypto for gambling as it is, for example, at UK GC. I don't even know if they still have this possibility in UK to make deposits with the Bitcoin. But once they did it, I believe it was 2017 or something like that. It was a nightmare. So you will never use Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency to do this, because they did it so much hardcore for the player that only idiots could use crypto for gambling.
I suppose the reason why the regulators are so slow to adopt new technologies is, as you point out, that they perhaps don't understand it to the same level as you do. And regulators are, I suppose, by nature, a very conservative kind of organizations that are being more careful than they should, perhaps. And on the other side of the table sits Ivan Montek, you know, a hardcore entrepreneur and forward-thinking visionary, so to say. And the kind of risk-averse nature of the regulator, I suppose, is why they are just being very slow to adopt this technology. But do you see that there is kind of like a light at the end of the tunnel here? Do you think there are certain regulators that are moving towards accepting crypto in some acceptable manner? Or do you think that it's up to you, as SoftSuite, for example, to be innovative in order to try to provide these solutions in regulated environments in some other ways?
So basically, it's a road of from both sides. So like we should go to each other from both sides and understand each other. Right. I mean, not only us as SOSFIS, but in general the business, right? And obviously, you are correct that in the regulator government structure, maybe there are no people that really understand it or really understand it in these details that you need to implement some new updates in the regulation. But it's the same in any other industry, like logistic, like banking, like other industries. And that's why usually business talks to the government and government talks to business, and they find solutions and they take experts, and these experts also share their opinion, and then we have like some upgrade, some improvements of the regulation of any businesses. But yes, we are trying to, let's say, penetrate the regulators a little bit with the with this crypto topic, and in this regulated markets, local markets where we are right now are more active as in any other. We also touched the question about the crypto, but my honest opinion is that only cryptocurrency is a currency to use in regulated markets. It's not really the main problem and the main desire. You have to basically upgrade the whole infrastructure, and you have to make it faster, to make it, as I told you, like from the operator point of view, less bureaucratic. So let the operator make their business and make the gambling also responsible. But on another side, don't put on the regulator too much stuff that is not related to business at all. And it's not about the gambling industry, it's about the banking as well. For example, right now, to open a bank account, to support the bank account all the time, to maintain it, you always should, do this KYC checks, source of wealth, source of funds, blah, blah, blah. And to create new companies in any jurisdictions, you should pass like a hell of different procedures. These procedures are so complicated only because you have to get papers, to certify these papers, to apostille these papers, to send this by DHL, by UPS, etc. If it could be done everything to blockchains, the life of people, the life of business will be much, much easier from one side. And obviously the economy of the countries will be growing up much faster, because in general, the turnover, the whole this procedure will be faster and easier. So, we have only 24 hours in a day. And if you can spend more time for papers and less time for papers and more time for business, it gives you immediately an effect, an economical effect of additional value in the industry, in the economy, in the macroeconomy as well.
Yeah. Fair enough. It's a good point. We as a society, we want to seek ourselves to be more efficient, less bureaucratic. Essentially, yeah. That's the point here. And would you say that this is one of SOSFIS's kind of key ambitions at the moment? It's kind of how to support the operators in regulated environments on this side, and how to kind of drive this push of technology.
Yeah, we try, but again, it starts with the talking and communication with the regulators, also with some. Yes. With some people that already have some experience working in these markets, not only even in online but in offline business as well, so they can basically maybe be more, let's say, serious opinions for the regulator as we are. And I don't mean only SOSFIS, I mean any online business. For many regulators too. Online businesses, these are freaks from internet that somewhere somehow launched casinos online and started to make money out of that, and today it's a lot of money, right? But we trust more these guys who were working with us like 30 years and 40 years here on the ground, and we will listen to their opinion. So basically, it's also important then to connect like online and offline and opinions, and make these discussions, make this share of knowledge also with offline operators, and you know, and using them also as opinion leaders in these certain countries to transfer and to deliver this information to the decision makers in the regulators, in the governments.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, if you were to guess, Ivan, like how far away are we from crypto payments becoming standardized in the regulated environment? And obviously, you know, it's obviously going to be very much up to the individual regulators, of course. But let's say, how far do you think we are away from at least some major regulated jurisdictions adopting crypto payments?
I think the main issue and the main problem or blocker will be the banking infrastructure, like the like fiscal infrastructure of the countries. Once they will move to the crypto adoption, like already like with the open eyes and with the open doors, we will see the adoption, I believe, also in the gambling industry and so on and so on. And I know that I know for sure that right now the biggest names in the banking sphere, they are already confident that crypto and the blockchain technologies have or must to be integrated into their infrastructure. And they understand also that if they don't do this, it will be done by somebody else. So, and they will lose their market share. So I'm quite confident, and I have this insights that is going on already. So, but how much time it will take? I guess nobody can answer this question, but I hope that we will see another 5 years of adoption of, you know, like understanding it. And maybe in 5 years or so, we will see at least not the fully adoption already on the, of the, of the technology, but a fully, let's say, adoption in the minds of the technology. And then we can see the fast track of implementing the technology into our lives. And used to know, like, only in our industry or small .com industries operations, we will see within, I believe, all our life angles, let's say, like this.
Yes.
And gaming and gambling will be one of these.
Yes, absolutely. You know, looking at it from the operator's point of view as well, you know, we've obviously seen the rise of operators like State.com, CoinGaming, Rubet, and so on and so forth. But the major kind of traditional operators, especially those who are kind of publicly listed and so on, as far as I know, none of them have adopted crypto payments so far, so to say. And, you know, what's the sentiment within the kind of tier one operators to launch crypto payments? Are they eager to kind of be able to start accepting crypto payments? Are they also being too careful in this? Like, are they willing to, you know, be innovative and kind of take a risk? Or like, how is your conversations with the tier ones?
There are two sides here. So from one side, they want to follow the trends and they want to be, let's say, better than other competitors, right? And as more you can do in innovation side, as better you will be seen from the player's perspective. On another side, they have this issues that I mentioned before, you know, like regulator, they don't understand, too much risk, potential money laundering problems, despite my opinion that much more money laundering could be happen within the fiat industry as in the crypto, but still they believe in it. public listed. So how will be the, you know, the public opinion about this? How will share move? So if I make something with blockchain and I will call it blockchain, probably my shares will be go up. If I do something with cryptocurrency, probably my shares will be to go down. So, and this is this, you know, like hustle and bustle within their heads, but obviously it's a tough decision to make. And without the regulator, you can't make this decision. And we saw even in Malta, you know, like MJ and FSA, they wanted to allow to use crypto, I believe, like 3 or 4 years ago already, at least.
Yeah.
And there were sandbox for that. There were some regulation for that. Still nothing. And for now, I know that the MGA is like, okay, maybe somebody would be the first and would try, maybe several operators. But I don't think within the current paradigm, what they have right now, anybody need it. So, I mean, why you would need right now to accept crypto under the MGA license if basically almost all European countries are already local regulated? And it means either you accept money, let's say, from, I don't know, France or Italy in crypto, which will be considering as a legal operation from their perspective, maybe not from the MGA perspective, if you take European Union, but from their perspective, and then get into troubles. Also, if the MGA will don't understand something in the future while it's already ongoing, they will make you more troubles, ask you more information and where this money comes from, ask what is blockchain, how you can see, how you can track Bitcoin transactions, and what was this transaction in the blockchain, etc. So why the operator will need to use it right now when the regulator doesn't understand it? So from this perspective, I don't think it's right now business-wise interesting for the operators to start using cryptocurrencies. But again, when we are talking about the whole infrastructure will be changed, not only the payment solution, but as a general solution for responsible gambling, for even track of bets and wins that could be seen immediately in the blockchain. Even from the taxation office perspective, they can easily track the amounts of your volumes and see how much basically taxes they will already collect next month, or even they could collect it online. So basically it could be also done like that. So this is the way where we should go. And then it will be interesting for everybody.
Yeah, very interesting. In general, I want to have an update on this because I've been listening in on quite a few kind of investor calls for major operators. And I remember, especially for DraftKings, the investors are always curious to know when is DraftKings going to accept crypto and stuff like that. And so the sentiment is very much that, investors, everyone wants this to happen. And even DraftKings wants this to happen. Other operators want this to happen. But as you are saying, the regulators is the issue at the moment. I mean, just that begs the just kind of a, I guess a little bit separate question, but it feels almost like, you know, in especially on the European side, the there is a lot of headwinds for the operators in general, not just from, you know, not being able to accept crypto, but regulators are being very conservative towards the agave industry in Europe. You know, take the classic examples like Germany, Sweden, UK, Netherlands. It's becoming very difficult to operate in those markets in a regulated environment. Yeah. Do you think there is any room for growth left in these markets? And I guess a follow-up question to that as well is like, it feels almost like the industry is shifting from, you know, being excited about markets regulating to looking into kind of the dot-com markets again? Like, do you get that feeling as well?
I mean, this is actually a normal feeling. It's not a feeling, it's a fact. It's a matter of fact. Because, when you have something, in your environment that is willing to do something and you forbid to do something, they are starting to search for the ways how to do something. Yeah? Yes. So basically, it's very simple said, but it's the same. Like, first of all, the regulators is as I see it. It's not only I see it. It's many senior guys from the industry have the same opinion. They are not willing to regulate. They're willing to completely kill the industry. So yes. Their desire is to basically stop the online gaming at all, or make it like so complicated for the operator, for the player, that they are not they will lose this idea even to play, you know. But they don't understand the simple thing somehow. I mean, or they understand, but they play with that. I don't know. Maybe it's just a political tool that it's impossible to stop people nowadays to gamble, you know, like, and to bet. And I mean, whatever you will do today, it's impossible to stop this industry. It's a very old industry, and people will gamble since I believe the world exists. And it's in a human nature. It's normal. Obviously, we should control, and this is the regulator must do. To control the level of, you know, like, of this gamble, let's say, not that the people are not going on another side and not getting into this crazy stuff, like losing everything, like also families after, and getting into social troubles. But this is the regulation, and if you forbid something, you will not be succeeded. And that's why I'm talking also about connecting offline and online, and talking to this, let's say, old, I even can say, like, dinosaur guys from the gambling industry, from the hardcore land-based, because they still have a lot of lobby in these countries. And I mean, even if I talk about Germany, obviously there are two companies that from Austria and from Germany that are lobbying the current regulation, and everybody understand it. Everybody understand it. But it's done anyway. The first license issued to this company of these two guys, and everybody understand that two guys are just want to protect their offline business by killing the online business. That's it. So, but very few of the players are doing something against this. I mean, in terms of the legal procedures, in terms of the communication, in terms of sharing the information that these two worlds are not closing each other. These two worlds can live together, like online and offline. So we do this. We should do this work, and we should push our ideas. And I guess somewhere these two points will come together in one point, you know?
Yeah.